another adventure of Zane Grey's King of the Royal Mountain. They say that 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. But it's equally true that 50 million Americans know what they like and what they want. When it comes to adventure stories with thrills, excitement, and danger, with the width and breadth of the great North Woods as a limitless canvas on which to paint such stories, Zane Grey's King of the Royal Mounted stands unchallenged in the hearts of America's fans. In fiction, America has already purchased more than 20 million copies of Zane Grey's absorbing adventure novels, more than 1 million of which were his greatest of all stories, King of the Royal Mounted. Each year, an average of 3 motion pictures are made of Zane Grey's works. And riding far out ahead of all other of his adventure characters are the 3 King of the Royal Mounted movies. In addition, since 1935, King Feature Syndicate has released the King of the Royal Mounted cartoon strip in American newspapers from coast to coast. Here is something to talk about. Here is a star to hitch your wagon to. The first radio adventures of the daring Sergeant King are now offered for sponsorship. The radio productions will be created in and emanate from Hollywood, the entertainment capital of the world. Written, directed, and enacted by the same men and women whose abilities rate high in the Crosley reports and in motion picture theater box offices. If you believe that nothing succeeds like success, King of the Royal Mounted, with its long and imposing list of successes in no matter what medium, offers you and your product the chance you've been looking for. Remember, it's Zane Grey's King of the Royal Mounted. The world is at war, and in a certain section of the vast North Woods, there have been disturbing rumors that the sinister forces of evil are at work there. Nothing tangible, nothing definite, just rumors. These rumors, however, have reached the ears of the mounted police. Every member of that great force has been constantly on the alert. Sergeant King had barely handed in his report on the mass murder case of Caribou when the phone of Inspector McKenzie's desk rang, and an excited voice asked to speak to King. The voice was that of Jules Vito, a guide from the Lost Lake Country. And he told the Mountie that he had information of vital importance to the police and urged that King meet him on a downtown street corner at once. King, knowing the man's sincerity and sensing his deep agitation, hurried to the designated spot. We find him waiting on that corner now.
Hello, King. I thought you were clear up around the circle somewhere.
Hello, kid. I just got back this morning.
Waiting for someone?
Yes, someone you know, too. Remember Jules Vito, the guide who was up at Lost Lake Lodge last summer?
Sure, I remember him. He's a great guy. He showed me how to catch trout with artificial flies.
Well, just stick around. He's due here any minute now. Easy, boy.
You know, I'll never forget how strongly he felt about the war. Whenever he'd see me, he'd always hold up 2 fingers in a V-shaped signal. You know, King, the V for victory sign?
Yes, I know. And there's Jules across the street now.
Oh, he sees us. He's coming over. And look, he's giving us the old V for victory sign.
But that car coming, Jules doesn't see it. What's wrong with that fool driver? Jules, look out!
It's going to hit him, King. Oh!
Good Lord, it knocked him 50 feet. Come on. Out of the way, please. Let me get at it. Jules, old man. Someone call an ambulance. This man is badly hurt.
Hey, Bill's putting the call in right now, Sergeant.
I got the license number of the car, King.
Good.
Here, I wrote it down on this slip of paper.
This was no accident, kid. The driver of that car deliberately swerved into him. This was a case of cold-blooded murder, and believe me, that driver's going to pay for it.
Well, the ambulance is coming now, Sergeant.
Did you get a glimpse of the driver of that car, kid?
No, but I did see the person who was riding beside him.
Yes, I saw her, too. A young woman with a strikingly beautiful face. A face I think I've seen before.
All right, get back.
Come on, kid. There's nothing more we can do here. Let's get down to the hospital. Jules Vito had a message for me, a message of great importance. If he regains consciousness, I want to be there.
Hal, you killed him. You deliberately ran him down.
So what?
Well, it's shaken me off the car. It made me feel all sick inside.
You'll get used to things like that in time. Peter was a traitor. And traitors, you know, must die.
You love me, Carl.
I'm mad about you, Sheila.
Then please slow down. You're driving much too fast.
How could I help but love you, Sheila? You're the most beautiful woman who ever lived.
Would you love me if I weren't so beautiful, Carl?
Well, what a question to ask. You know I would, my precious.
Look out, look out!
Into
doctor?
Your friend Vidal cannot possibly live, Sergeant King.
I see. Mind if we stay here by his bed?
No, not at all. Stay as long as you like, sir.
Poor old Jules. I guess he never knew what happened to him, King.
I guess I'll never know what he wanted to tell me.
He never even gave you a hint?
No, but I knew from his manner it was something important.
He's opening his eyes. He sees you, King.
Hello, Jules. It's me, King.
I understand. He's trying to smile.
Take it easy, old man. You've had a pretty bad bump, you know.
He's trying to say something now.
What is it, Jules? What did you want to tell me?
Tell you...
You called on the phone, remember?
Oui. Phone. Jules remembers.
What did you want to say?
Too many hunters this season. Too many hunters.
Hunters? What do you mean by that?
Water Street, King. 107. Water Street.
Look, King. He's making a V sign with his fingers.
A V. For victory.
Jules. Jules.
Is he dead, King?
I'm afraid so, kid. Come on. You better find the doctor and send him in.
I'd like to get my hands on the driver of that car. I'd make him pay for what he did to Jules.
Take it easy, kid. Don't let it get you down.
The police have the license number of his car. Why haven't they picked him up? That man's as much a murderer as though he'd stabbed Jules with a knife.
They did pick up the car. Found it wrecked in a ditch about 10 miles out of town.
Well, they can still trace the owner, can't they?
They have traced him, but the owner wasn't in the car at the time. He had reported it stolen sometime yesterday.
Then I suppose the killer will get away.
Not if I can help it, he won't.
I hear the horses, King.
Too many hunters this season, he said. Too many hunters.
Well, there certainly wasn't anything so important about that.
Chances are it was just the ramblings of a man in a delirium, and yet he seemed so terribly in earnest about it, kid.
But suppose there are a lot of hunters in the backwoods this year. Jules was a guide, and the more hunters there are, the more business he gets.
Still, there are some mighty important things going on in those backwoods right now. By George, too many hunters this season. I'll bet that's it.
What do you mean, King?
It's just a wild guess, kid, but it's worth looking into. If you're around in, say, an hour from now, I may have a clue as to who killed Jules Vidal and why.
But, King...
I'll see you later, kid. Sold many hunting licenses in your store this year, mister?
Yes, we have, Sergeant. An unusually large number.
Oh, thanks.
Hunting licenses, Sergeant? Yes, our store sold twice as many as it did last year.
Thanks for the information. I understand there's been an unusually large demand for hunting licenses in some of the stores this year. Have you noticed any increase here?
Well, we've sold more licenses this year than in any previous year since we've been in business. I can't quite understand it myself.
Thanks for the information.
What are you doing in all those sporting goods stores, King?
It sounds like you've been shadowing me, kid.
Well, I did sort of tag along. I thought maybe you might run into some trouble and need a little help.
I didn't run into any trouble yet, but I did learn one important thing.
What?
Those words muttered by Jules Vito were not just delirious ramblings.
They weren't.
He was trying to tell us that there are going to be hundreds of men, possibly thousands, in our woods this year who never went hunting before.
Gosh, I don't see anything much to that. Maybe there's a lot more game this year.
But think what that means, kid. Thousands of men scattered through our backcountry and all licensed to carry arms. Don't you see the possibilities there?
Gee, Willikers, you don't think...
This is war, kid. All-out, total war. Anything is possible.
But Jiminy Christmas, King, if what you think is
We've run into something mighty important. Now, to further check up on what Jules Vito said, I'm going to ride down now and take a look at 107 Water Street. And to save you the trouble of shadowing me again, I'll just invite you to come along.
Well, Dr. Cutlob?
She is still unconscious, Carl.
But what I want to know is...
And I hate to have to tell you, my boy. I know what a blow it is going to be.
Well, come on, get it over with.
Your beautiful young wife will never be beautiful again, Carl.
You mean it?
Her face. There's nothing I can do. Nothing anyone can do.
Oh, no! No! No!
Doctor!
Good
doctor!
Gracious! I was certain she was...
Now, no. Sheila, Sheila, that won't do.
Oh, my face, my beautiful face. What have you done to it, Carl?
Sheila, stop it, I say.
You did this to me, you did it. But I'm going to hate you. I'm going to hate you as long as I live.
You'd better step outside, my boy. Upsetting her like this won't do her any good. Don't take what she says now too much to heart, Carl. I will give her something to make her sleep.
I assume that I needn't warn you, Dr. Gottlob, that you're not to report this case to the police?
You may trust me implicitly, my boy.
Good. I'll have to leave her in your care now, Doctor. There's a meeting tonight which I must attend.
I understand.
If for any reason you have to get in touch with me, you can reach me at the place on Water Street.
I hate you, Carl, as long as I live!
Phew, it's sure dark down in this part of town.
Yeah, the sun goes down fast this time of year. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that warehouse across the street is 107.
Gee, it's a great big barn of a place.
Looks to me like it's out of business. The ground floor windows are all boarded up. Wait, back in this alley. Someone's coming down the walk. He's crossing the street to 107.
He's taking out a key and opening the door. Now he's going into the building.
Why should anyone be going into a warehouse that's all boarded up?
At night, too. It is kind of funny.
Hold on. Look up at the second floor window, kid.
I see it, King. A tiny streak of light.
And notice how the crack of light keeps disappearing, then showing up again? Looks like people must be moving back and forth between the light and the window.
What do you suppose is going on up there?
Well, that's something I intend to find out right now. Better wait here for me, kid.
Oh, gee, King.
All right, then, come along. But if we bump into any trouble, you get out of here, understand?
I will. I promise you, King.
Well, then let's get going. I've got a strong desire to find out what goes on at 107 Water Street.
Dark in here in this warehouse. I can't see a thing, King.
Your eyes will get accustomed to the darkness pretty soon. Listen.
Hey, that sounds like marching feet.
It's coming from upstairs. Come on, there must be a stairway here somewhere. Let's find it.
Oh, gosh. I bumped into some packing cases.
Oh, this place is full of them. Easy now. We don't want to tip them off that we're here.
Stand right where you are, you two, or I'll kill you full of lead.
King.
Oh, so it's you, you snooping redcoat. I've half mind to...
What?
Oh, so that's the way you want it, huh? And that's the way it's going to be. You're missing, King. My eyes are more accustomed to the dark than yours.
Better let loose of that gun, my friend.
King, King, you're hurt.
Oh, it's nothing. He just got me in the arm.
You won't think it's nothing when I'm through. Right behind you is an open elevator shaft, King. It's 20 feet to the bottom of it.
King.
Bottom of that shaft is a nice, safe place for you, too.
You're hurt, King, and I'm going to...
Now the two of you can stay down there and rot. And no one will ever think of looking for you there. So that's King of the Royal Mounted, who always gets his man.
Wounded and dying at the bottom of an elevator shaft in the dark old warehouse on Water Street. There was certainly sinister import in those mumbled words of the dying Jules Vido. Be sure to be listening tomorrow at this same time for another thrilling installment of Zane Grey's King of the Royal Mounted.